But I'm continuing on with our series, Stir Crazy. Maybe you've had the blessing of joining us the past couple weeks as we've been going through how to put down spiritual roots. We talked about putting the seed in the ground. We talked about growing spiritual fruits. We talked about last week building spiritual momentum. So I really encourage you, if you've missed a couple of the sermons here in this series, go back on YouTube, go back on the app, get caught up, because these have been some really good messages by Pastor Mike. And so I'm going to my best, going to continue on with this series, Stir Crazy. And the thing that I really want us to dig into today is, what does it look like to put down those roots? What does it look like to bear spiritual fruits? And what does it look like specifically? How do I put down good spiritual roots when it comes to prayer? What does it look like for me to really put down some good roots in prayer? And so I want to tell you guys a story to start it off. I'm looking around like I'm still back at the tech college. Like, I'm looking over here, no one's there. I look over here, Austin is still here. How about we gather around? Like, did you ever, guys, in like elementary school, you kind of gather around for story time? I'm gonna beckon all of the people who are watching through the screen. Come on in. Pull your chair forward. Grab that coffee, grab your PJs. Austin's coming forward here. Let's gather around for story time with Pastor Phil here. And so I want to share a story about how prayer has played out in my life. And if you don't like story time, guess what? You cannot heckle or boo me here. I guess you can give me a thumbs down if you want. I won't see it for like a minute and a half because there's a short delay. So tough luck. But I want to start off with a story, and I want to show, how did I even end up at Vertical Church? Because maybe if you're new here, I've not been here the whole time. I've just been here just a little over a year. So how did I end up at Vertical Church? And so about just under 2 years ago, I was working in business. My title essentially was basically recruiter. Some of you may know that as headhunter. I like headhunter. Headhunter sounds kind of boss, doesn't it? Like, it sounds like, I don't know that I want to cross Pastor Phil. He used to be a headhunter, you know, and that just sounds intimidating. A recruiter, I mean, that sounds fine, but it's not quite as boss as headhunter. So recruiter, headhunter, whichever you prefer. But that's what I used to do. I worked for construction, engineering, and architectural firms to help them bring in new talent. And so I was a recruiter. My in-laws had asked me to start a business with them, so they owned the business. I worked with them. And I worked from home. Many of you can now relate to me from that work from home life. You may love it, you may dislike it, but that's what I did every day for years, worked from home. And then my wife was also a recruiter at the time. She worked for a small company. They did like executive level recruiting, like if you're hiring like a new president or like a new VP, like higher up positions for some companies that were worldwide. So she was very successful, doing much better than I was as a recruiter. She'd been in it longer than me, and she knew what she was doing. She was great at it. So we were both working, and I was in my office, which at the time was my couch, which is also basically what it is now. And so I was working on the couch. I had my coworker, my cat Obi, sleeping next to me. That's basically all he did. And then I had HGTV up on the TV so that I could have some background noise, something going. I was watching some kind of rerun. Because, man, it's, if you're just working at home by yourself, your cat's asleep, and you got no noise, no nothing, the energy's low. Introverts, I'm describing your paradise. For an extrovert, give me something. Give me some person telling them that they need to blow out this wall, they need to redo this room. For goodness sake, get some new paint on the wall. I needed something going on. So I had that going on the TV, and my wife, sometimes would get to work from home as well with her small company, but today she sent me a text as I'm sitting on the couch, and she says, we've got an all-staff meeting about to happen. Everyone on the team is coming in for a staff meeting. And you guys ever had the feeling where every day was normal until it wasn't? You know what I'm saying? Every day, it was a normal day until you realize, wait, no, this isn't a normal day. We're about to have some stuff go down. And so as soon as I read that text sitting on my couch, we're about to go in a staff meeting, all I can describe to you is I knew in my spirit her time was done. Her time was done at this company. And if you're like me, it's sheer panic at this point, because my wife makes more than I do, significantly at this point. She was a much more successful headhunter than I was. So take that however you want. And so she sends me that text, and I just knew in my spirit her time is done. And I do what any of us would most likely do in this scenario. We start to pray. I get up, my cat, unfazed by this news, as long as food is in the bowl at night, he does not care at this point. So I get up, I start pacing the living room, back and forth. God, please do not let her lose this job. We need this job. You know, she makes more money than I do. She's very good at this. God, please don't let her lose this job. And basically, I repeat the same lines for an hour. I'm just pacing the living room, praying and praying and praying. God, do not let her lose this job. I don't know what's going on. I don't know if they're going to close up. I don't know if they're restructuring. I don't know if they're just letting her go. I don't know what's happening, but I just sense my spirit. Her time is done. I just pray, pacing for about an hour. And after an hour, the Lord responds and says, no. I'm like, pardon me, do you not see the effort I've just put in? I just prayed for an hour here. I'm looking to change things up. I'm looking to shift the momentum here. And you say no. So I reached the stage of prayer. I don't know if you guys have ever reached this stage as well. We look to bargain, argue, or just flat out get upset a little bit. Okay, so I've reached the bargaining phase. I start explaining to God, okay, God, well, clearly my first hour was ineffective. Let's break out the imaginary charts. I start breaking out imaginary charts. God, Exhibit A. Exhibit A is where we're both working. We're both making incomes, God. And God's like, tell me more. And then I go, Exhibit B. Exhibit B is where I'm the one working. And you see, Exhibit B, we're making significantly less money here in Exhibit B. Exhibit A, both working. We like Exhibit A, God. Exhibit B, me working. We don't like that exhibit. And God, tell me more. So I go on. He lets it just an hour of God explaining, please, Lord, do not let her lose her job. She makes more than I do. We're trying to grow in our finances. We're trying to do things right. We're trying to be a good steward. So God, please let her keep her job. And I pray for an hour. I break out all the imaginary charts and graphs and exhibits I can. I mean, I give my best case to God. And after another hour, God looks down and speaks into my heart again and says, no. And he says, not only no, you're going to look back and be all this, and be thankful all of this happened. And at that point, I don't know how to describe it to you, but it, rather than that making me upset or trying to be confused about how is this all going to work out, it just brought such a clarity to me that I'm either going to trust God or I'm not. It boiled down to such a simple yes or no in my spirit. I can't describe it in any other way because there was moments in my life, and if you come back next week and I end up teaching, I'm going to share about why is Jesus important when we're going stir crazy and why is Jesus important even when we're not, you know, going stir crazy. Why is Jesus important? I'm going to share some more of my testimony. But see, there was a season in my life where God asked me to step forward. God asked me to obey, and I said no. I didn't listen. And I went through years of my life where I dealt with suicidal depression. I dealt with just being miserable. So in that moment, I could go back to my life when I didn't listen, when I said no to God, when I didn't trust him. I knew exactly what my life looks like when Philip is leading my life. And I'd also had seasons of my life where I obeyed the Lord, and I knew what it looked like to let the Lord lead me. And so in that moment, I had this just clear picture of I can go back to disobeying, trying to do it my way, or I'm going to trust God. And so I knew how it ends up when Phil gets to call the shots. It ends up like a dumpster fire eventually. Phil is not good at being the Lord of his own life. It ends in disaster. So I go, you know what, God? You're right. I'm either going to trust you or I'm not. I'm either going to trust that I'm going to look back at some point and be thankful all this has happened, or I'm not. And I just had peace at that moment. I just had peace. And so I went into the kitchen because I'd been pacing. I mean, your boy had been laying out a case. I'd been like a lawyer in prayer. And so I go to the kitchen. I make myself a big bowl of cereal. Don't give me snack size. I make a large bowl of cereal, so large that some of you may judge me. And that's okay. You know, that's what I needed in my moment. And so I make a big bowl of cereal. I go back to the couch. I sit down next to my cat who is, after 2 hours, still napping. And so I start eating my big bowl of cereal, watching HGTV, and I just have peace. I have no idea what is about to happen. I have no idea what this is about to look like, but I've just decided I'm just going to bank on God. That's all I know at this point. I've got my cereal, my cat, and I'm going to bank on God. And so Kaylin comes back later that day. I meet her at the door, and she looks at me and goes, we need to talk. And I go, oh, I know. I still remember her giving this look like, pardon me? Excuse me? And so she goes on to explain that her owner had walked in and said they're closing up the company. They're closing down the company. They're closing the doors. And so there's a verse that I want us to make the foundation and everything of today. And it's Proverbs 3, 5 through 6. Proverbs 3, 5 through 6. And it says this: trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways, submit to him, and he will make your path straight. You know what I like about this verse? There's no real gray area in this verse. There's no real trying to figure out what it may possibly mean. It's just pretty straightforward. You either, like the verse says, you either trust in the Lord with all your heart, or you don't. You either lean not on your own understanding, or you do. You either submit in all of your ways, or you don't. And then the Lord makes your path straight, or he doesn't, depending on how you respond with the first three verses, or first three sentences in that verse. And that verse really sums up the pivotal moment of where I'm going to be. I'm going to trust in the Lord with all of my heart, or I'm not. I'm either going to lean on my own understanding, or I'm not. I'm either going to submit in all of my ways, or I'm not. And then if I do that, I'm going to see the Lord make my path straight. And that same verse applies to anyone sitting here and listening today. You're faced with that same challenge of Proverbs 3, 5 through 6. In your prayer life, are you going to trust in the Lord with all of your heart? When it comes time to pray, are you going to lean on your own understanding? When you come to pray, are you willing to submit in all of your ways? And are you willing to trust that the Lord is still capable of making your path straight? And so what does it look like to play it out? Okay, Phil, that's nice. You had your bowl of cereal. You say in that moment you're going to trust God. What happens after that? What happens is things get difficult. Kaylin comes home, and she had been working hard to start her own business at some point. Her dream was not to be a recruiter. Her dream was not to be a headhunter. She was just very good at it, very successful at it, made good money at it. And she had been wanting to start her own business. She wanted to be her own boss. She wanted to work from home, and she wanted that opportunity. She double majored in like business and economics. Okay, two buildings I did not enter into those buildings when I was in college. My youth ministry degree did not require heavy economic learning. And so she's very intelligent. And some of you are wondering, well, why did she marry you? Sit down and be quiet. Sip your coffee, okay? And so she comes home, and we start praying, and we go, I think this is the time to launch your business. We both prayed about it and felt like this is the time to launch your business. And if you've ever launched a business, you typically know it's not super profitable off the start. So remember Exhibit A. Exhibit A was where we were both working and both making money. And she made more than I do, significantly. And so Exhibit B has now become, we're going to not only have her not have her job, we're going to launch her business. But it's what we feel like God's asking us to do. And this would be what we call the bold strategy category at this point. And so she launches her business. She actually starts growing right from the beginning. I mean, she starts getting some clients right from the beginning. But the end of the first month, the bank account has dropped. And this is as Frugal Phil, the man who does our finances at the time, and I did our finances simply because my budget strategy was complicated. Don't spend. Frugal Phil's budget strategy was don't spend the money. Save it so that you can go on a nice vacation. Save it so that you can give and be generous, and save it so that other people don't get it when you buy random things. You know, I don't need many things in life. And so that was our budget strategy. But even with Frugal Phil overseeing finances, the bank account has dropped. And see, in stories in Scripture and in testimonies, it's easy to breeze over this moment, like in just a month later. But if you're honest, if you're sitting and watching today and you're going through a difficult time where Proverbs 3, 5 through 6 is difficult for you, where you're saying, I don't know that I can trust in God. I don't know that I cannot lean on my understanding. I don't know that I can submit in all my ways, because right now you're in that month. You're in that month where you're wrestling with that doubt. You're wrestling with, I don't know if trusting God was the right decision. Maybe I've missed something. I don't know if I heard him correctly. Maybe as I see my bank account drop, maybe I missed it. And so I don't want to breeze through that moment if that's you, because it's just real easy in one sentence to go, oh, a month later, let's breeze on. But in this moment, you feel it every day. Every day where you see your bank account dropping a little bit more, you have to wrestle with doubt. You have to wrestle with, am I really going to submit in all of my ways? Am I really going to trust in the Lord? And you have to do that day after day after day. You have to wrestle with that doubt week after week after week. You have to wrestle with that doubt month after month after month. And that's what I did. That's what we did as a couple. Months go by. We see the bank account drop every single month. Even though Kaylin's business is growing, She's doing great. She's crushing it. And so after a couple months, I go, man, this has been a season of change for us. This has been a season of change. And I go, maybe I'm supposed to go back into ministry. I've been in business for a couple years at this point. I used to be a youth pastor years ago. But maybe this season has just changed for all of us. Maybe I'm supposed to step into ministry again. Because when I was doing ministry, that was where I felt alive in my soul. It's when I was doing ministry, I felt like this is why I was created. And maybe some of you can relate when you're getting to do a certain thing in life, this is why I'm here to serve the Lord in this area. And so I said, God, if you want me to go back into ministry, you're just going to have to open the door. Because as a recruiter, as a headhunter, I looked at resumes every day. I looked for good resumes. I looked for good talent. And I knew my resume going out to churches was not a home run. The majority of churches do not look at business experience as valuable. I don't understand why, but it was just the reality. I knew the reality. I had an uphill battle. Most churches are not going to be impressed with business experience. And so I start sending out my resume. I contact people I know in ministry and go, hey, if you happen to know a position I'd be a good fit for, let me know. I start trying to reach out to anybody I know. I start scouring the web for any position that may be a good fit, sending in my resume. I get some polite no thank yous. No, thank you, good sir. Please don't send us another resume. We are not impressed. And then I get some also very pleasant no responses, which is also a very kind, but less kind, no thank you. Please do not send us any more contact information. We're not impressed with you, nor your resume, good sir. And so, we're just kind of going through month and month, and really we're trying to go back to Proverbs 3, 5 through 6. We're just going to trust in the Lord with all of our heart. We're just going to lean not on our own understanding. We're going to look to submit in all of our ways. We're going to do the things the Bible calls us to, and we're just going to bank on God. We're just going to bank on God that if he says we're going to look back and be thankful, that's going to be the case. We're going to believe that that's going to be true. And so after months and months have gone by of going through this, Camel's business is growing, and we're just trying to figure out where we're going to be. The bank account's still dropping. I get a text one day from Pastor Mike, and Mike and I had become friends over the past year. Sometimes we would come up to Blairsville and see my parents every once a month maybe, once every 6 weeks, once every 8 weeks, just to visit, get out of the Atlanta area where we were living, and come up to the North Georgia mountains. And we'd come up, and over time, we'd just become friends with them. Maybe we'd go out once every couple months and get a dinner together, or once every couple months, maybe we'd get together and pray for each other. And Mike and I had tried to stay in contact just as friends and maybe text each other once a month. So it wasn't totally uncommon to get a text from him. Sometimes we'd just check in and see how we're doing. How's your prayer life going? How's your time in the Word going? How's your marriage going? And he sent me a text, and he said, hey, could you and Kaylin jump on a call with Becca and I tonight? And I was like, sure, man. I didn't know. Maybe they just needed to be encouraged. Maybe they just wanted somebody to pray with them, or maybe they just wanted to encourage us. I didn't really know what was going on. So we jump on the call with Pastor Mike and them, and you guys happen to know Pastor Mike. He doesn't really beat around the bush very much. You know what I'm saying? If you ever pick that up in his sermons or just discussing anything with him for 3 minutes, he does not beat around the bush. And so he got on the call very quickly and just basically just asked, would you have any interest in it? And an associate pastor role. And I don't really remember much else of the conversation, to be honest. I probably seemed like I checked out, but I just remember having this moment with God where it's just another moment of God going, you're going to look back and be thankful all of this happened. You're going to look back and be thankful all of this happened. And that was the moment where I began to realize in hindsight that God was doing something, that God was moving pieces together. And I want to encourage you with this. God's foresight is clearer than our hindsight. God's foresight is clearer than our hindsight. Maybe you've heard the phrase, hindsight is 20/20. Hindsight is 20/20. Maybe you've heard that phrase. And I want you to picture that phrase being true. Hindsight is 20/20. When we are able to look back upon something, we feel like we as humans get far more clarity. I want to tell you that's true. But that clarity that we feel doesn't come close to the clarity that God has in his foresight. You see, if someone had called and said earlier, God, I want for you to, Philip, I want you to step out into ministry, but my wife was still working and recruiting and still making great money, it would have been difficult for us to pick up and leave. That would have been a difficult decision, but God had begun to maneuver us in a situation where we were flexible. With Kaylin's business growing and her working from home, we could go anywhere. We could do anything. I already was working from home. God's foresight is clearer than our hindsight. So what does it look like to live out this Proverbs 3, 5 through 6? What does it look like to live it out? Because in hindsight, I realized something about my life. I realized I had become so comfortable in my job. I had become so comfortable in our finances. I had become so comfortable in our marriage. I had become so comfortable in my abilities that I had birthed a prayer in that living room when God had revealed to me that Kaylin's job was going to end. And in that moment, my comfort birthed a prayer. God, don't let her lose her job. Don't let her lose her job. But now, months and months and months and months later, I realized what I had been praying against. I've been praying against the opportunity for my wife to step into her dream job and have the most peace and joy she's had in her work in the whole time we've been together. I've been praying against that. I've been praying against the opportunity to come and be the pastor here. I've been praying against that with everything I had in that moment because I didn't have the foresight that God had. I realized this about my life. The walls I had built to protect my life had become my prison walls, keeping me from what God had for my life. I realized my comfort, my job, my finances, my routine, my abilities, my marriage, all of these things I had built to protect my life had now become my prison walls, keeping me from what God had for me. And I realized in that moment that God's plan was bigger than what I had going on. God's plan was bigger than the plan I had for my life. And I think most of us maybe would say that's true, but there becomes pivotal moments in our life where we realize our perspective shifts. We realize that's true. And so I want to try to give a visual. I want to try to give a visual for us to kind of wrap our minds around what I'm saying. I want you to picture your life as just a box, as just a square. I want you to picture it like it's just a box. We got it up on the screen here as well. So picture your life as that. It's got four walls. It's got your job. It's got your finances. It's got your relationships. It's got your abilities. Fill in the blank however you want to. But this is what your life looks like in, as far as a visual. It's rather plain. Don't be depressed, okay? It's a box. And this is how I lived my life. And I tried to get everything inside of the box to be comfortable. I wanted everything inside of the box to be something I could control, something I could do. But see, Proverbs 3, 5 through 6 would tell Philip, do not lean on your own understanding. It would say, Philip, trust in the Lord with all of your heart. It would say, Philip, in all your ways submit to him, and he will make your path straight. And see, here's what I realized when God's plan was much bigger. God's plan was much bigger. His square was much bigger than my square. His square was much bigger than my square. So the visual changes now. We see the square that we had. We thought it was everything, but all of a sudden we are now realizing God's plan is bigger than our plan. And some of you may be upset about the theology. You're fine. It's just a basic example. You'll be all right, okay? Just hang with me. But see, if we look at our walls that have gone from protecting us to becoming our prison walls, of us stepping into everything that God has for us, you see, the gap between our wall and God's plan creates margin in our life. It creates margin in our life. We become aware that there's more to life, more to what God has for us than what we are currently living in. And maybe it takes a job loss for you to realize that margin exists. Maybe it takes a strain in a relationship for you to realize margin exists. Maybe it takes a worldwide pandemic. Come on, somebody. For you to realize margin exists in your life. There's more to what God is wanting to do than what you had originally planned. And see, the issue becomes when those walls we were built to protect our life become our prison walls, we've got to decide, are we willing to lay those down? Are we willing to submit in all of our ways? Are we going to try to stay inside of our box? Or are we going to step out in faith to the margin? Let me tell you something. God loves the margin. God loves the margin when we become aware of it. You want to know why God loves the margin? It's because when we step out into the margin, when we live in the margin, when we get outside of our walls we thought were protecting us, we get outside of our prison walls, we step into the unknown, we step into the margin, it's when God moves there that we cannot deny that he gets all of the credit. When we step into the margin moments of our life, when we step into something that's bigger, we get to see things happen that it's God only. It's him moving. It's him doing it. It's him building our faith. You want your faith to be built, live your life in the margin. That's where you're going to see God move the most. And it's this revolving cycle. If you want your faith to build, you have to be stepping out in faith. That's the only way it works. You don't get to plant, and then grow faith by staying inside of your prison walls. And maybe it's taken something like a worldwide pandemic for you to be aware that there is margin that exists. Maybe it took a time of praying for hours for my wife not to lose a job that needed to happen for her to have the blessing of her starting her own business and getting to enjoy what she did. Maybe it needed to be a job loss for me to be revealed that I had become far too comfortable and was trying to control things in my life rather than living a life in the margin, living a life of faith. And so we prayed about the offer to become an associate pastor, and we felt like it was the right thing to do. It just made too much sense. God had been doing weird things. I don't know if I should say they're weird things, but it's how it felt. We were driving back from visiting Blairsville one day in that past year, and Cale and I both looked at each other and we said, what would it look like to move to Blairsville? What would it look like to move to Blairsville now? You work from home, I work from home. God had already started putting it on our heart to live here. He was already doing things. Why? Because his foresight is clearer than our hindsight. We realized, we're just talking to each other, it was on both of our hearts at the same time. We started looking at houses on Zillow. We can't explain why. Why are we looking at Blairsville? We have a great life. We've got a great church. We've got a great job. We've got great friends. Life is great where we are at. Why would we look to change that up? But God starts putting on our heart to move to Blairsville. So we pray about it, and we feel like this is what we're supposed to do. We're supposed to pick up and move to Blairsville. But in case you've ever moved, you realize it's kind of expensive at times. Trying to get another house is kind of expensive. We definitely remember Exhibit A. Exhibit B has led to Exhibit C. The bank account is still dropping. Let's not lose that in this moment of the story. Bank account Exhibit C is very, very difficult. It's got inward tears for Phil at this point. And so we go, okay, we're going to have to move. We most certainly cannot afford two houses. We're going to have to sell our house here in Atlanta, and that money is going to help us make the move. And so we call in my in-laws, Kaylin's parents, because they had experience flipping houses. They had experience of how you maximize your house to get the most money. And we called them in and said, we need you to teach us. We need you to lead us. Please help us maximize the sale of this house so that we can take that money and move to Blairsville and step into what God has for us. And we said, by the way, we have X amount of dollars. This is what we can afford to spend, because Exhibit C is telling Frugal Phil, we have less than where we started, okay? And so we go, this is the money we can spend. They go to work. They were amazing. They said, we're going to put the money here. We're going to do this project. Not only did they lead us and coach us and give us so much wisdom of how to start flipping a house, they literally jumped in and did a ton of the projects. They were such a blessing of pouring their sweat and tears and helping us launch. And so we go through this renovation process. And so we're going through it. We're trying to get it done as fast as we possibly can so that we can pick up and move. And so we're going through this season. And I remember we finally got done completing the renovations. We were sitting in our kitchen one night, and we were going to list our house for sale the next morning. We were sitting in that kitchen after all the projects were done. We were just getting to see the blessing of what our in-laws had done in the house and what we'd come together to do. And I remember my father-in-law saying something along this gist. I can't remember the exact lingo, but he basically said, we have done everything we can, and we've done the best that we can, and now we're just going to trust God. We've done everything we can, we've done the best that we can, and we're just going to trust God at this point. And we were praying in that kitchen for our house to sell. We were praying it would sell quickly. We'd sell for top dollar. We had done all the research we possibly could to list it for the top dollar amount we possibly could. And I've been praying for weeks. I've been praying for weeks this very simple prayer. God, I pray that you will sell this house at the right time to the right buyer at the right price. God, sell this house at the right time to the right buyer at the right price. And I prayed that over and over. Kale and I, we pray together most every night. And it's not a long-winded prayer. It's usually a minute or two. But I cannot tell you how many prayers we have seen answered staring at that ceiling, praying at the end of each day. God, bring the right buyer at the right time at the right price. And I'd ask, God, I'm trusting you to do that. But if I can I ask for X amount? I was asking for X amount. And God, I'm also asking you sell this house in 48 hours. I'm asking you sell this house in 48 hours. We knew the market was hot where we were at. We knew we had done a great job putting the money the best we could to renovate it some. We were praying we'd sell within 48 hours. And so we got done praying. Everybody went home. My mother-in-law listed it for sale that morning. And about an hour later, I got a call. And she says, I need you out of the house. I was like, pardon me? She's like, we've got someone come to see it. The ink basically has not been drying on the proverbial online listing, and someone's come to look at it. Okay, that sounds exciting. So I get out of the house. That sounds great. We get a couple other people that are going to come look at it. And by the end of the day, we realized this house was going to sell. And then next morning, within 24 hours, our house had sold for the listing price. We got the full asking offer, and it was gone in 24 hours. It was the first person that came. That first person that showed up an hour later. It was almost like the right buyer at the right time at the right price. And I want to encourage you that this seemed like such another moment where God looked back and said, Philip, you're going to be thankful all of this happened. See, God's foresight is clearer than our hindsight. I didn't realize in that moment in my living room when I'm praying for God to not let my wife lose her job, I didn't realize I was praying against the blessing of that house selling. I didn't realize I was praying against these moments that I would be living in the margin, having to live in faith, having to trust in the Lord, in seeing Him move. I didn't realize I was praying against that. And I began to realize in my prayer life, it's definitely okay to ask for things specifically. Absolutely. Absolutely ask for that house to sell at the right price. Absolutely to ask for it to sell at this exact price. Absolutely ask for it to sell in this time frame. But end your prayer. I encourage you, end your prayer the way I would. But God, bring the right buyer at the right time, at the right price. Give God the space, because Proverbs 3:5-6 says, trust in the Lord with all of your heart and lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways, submit to Him, and He will make your path straight. And maybe right now you're listening, and you can relate to the part of the story where I was wrestling with doubt. You're in that season where maybe you haven't quite seen God answer some prayers. You haven't quite seen God make your path straight. Let me encourage you with something. The reason God can make a straight path in your life is because He knows where it's supposed to go. And He knows where your life is supposed to go way more than we do. I had no understanding of what God was doing when I was praying in my living room that day. But He did. And I had to trust the process. I had to trust Him moving the pieces. I had to trust Him doing everything that He was doing. And so as we close out, I want us to talk about an algebraic equation. Come on, somebody. Philip is about to attempt an algebraic equation, but we're going to make it a spiritual algebraic equation. Some of you have just gotten out of your chair. You're like, I want no part of this. Philip, I graduated. I did my time. I served my time. Do not bring me any algebraic questions. Well, you're a minute and a half behind on a delay, so you can't stop me at this point. Holla. And so the equation looks like this. And this is how I think it plays out in our life so much. X plus Y equals Z. X plus Y equals Z. And see, what happens in this equation is when you solve for Z, X plus Y have to equal Z. So if X equals 1, Y equals 1, Z will always be 2. And so if X equals 2, Y equals 2, Z will always be 4. That's how that works. And so I think Proverbs 3:5-6 gives us an outline of how we're supposed to live our life spiritually to see God move. Because what is at the end of verse 6? It's God moving. He will make your path straight. He will make your path straight. That's the end. But how do we get there? It gives us a formula. You've got to trust in the Lord with all of your heart. You've got to lean not on your own understanding, and you've got in all of your ways to submit to Him. That's what makes it so difficult. I think everyone mostly will want to say, of course I want God to make my path straight. But when God goes, okay, submit to me in all of your ways, that's where the rubber has to meet the road. That's where things get difficult. When we're looking for that to happen, God, I want you to make my path straight. And God says, well, are you serving? Well, no, maybe kind of. In a way, are you leaning on your own understanding? Are you making your own plans and following your own ways? Well, I mean, a little bit. I got to hedge my bet, God, in case you don't show up. You know, Philip, are you trusting me in your finances? Are you still willing to tithe, Philip, when the bank account's going down? Are you still willing to trust and do the things my word has called you to, Philip? Because then I will make your path straight. So many of us want to see our path be made straight, but it becomes incredibly difficult when we've got to see it happen out in the margin. When we've got to live by faith. And see, here's what happens to us so many times is when we go through something difficult and we've got to step out in faith, what we want the equation to look like is X plus Y out in the margin, but Z is inside the box. God, yeah, I'll do things your way. I'll do things your way. Yeah, God, I'll submit. I'll lean not on my understanding, but as long as the path being straight leads back inside of my walls. God, as long as you moving looks like me getting a blessing inside of my walls. Yes, I'll live out in the margin by faith for a season, God, as long as I get the blessing that I want the way I want it. How many of us have asked God to move and then had an expectation of what it's going to look like, and when it doesn't match that, we get mad at God? We try to define what making the path straight is supposed to look like, rather than trusting in the Lord with all of our heart. And see, the scripture is actually pretty clear. Our biggest blessings will not be on this side of eternity. Our biggest blessings will be when we enter into the kingdom and we get to hear the phrase, well done, good and faithful servant. Our biggest blessings are getting to spend eternity worshiping the Lord in His presence. But our human tendency is to want to try to take the blessings of God and put them in such a small box that we can try to control. Mike taught a message months ago that we're promised trouble in this world. Stop trying to put God inside of our small box. Stop trying to put God inside of our prison walls. I think the equation looks far more like this. X inside of the box plus Y equals Z. X plus Y equals Z. Z is God moving in His time, in His way. And that's going to happen in the margin. That's going to happen in the margin. God loves the margin. So what is X plus Y equals Z? What do they stand for? I sum up X like this. It sounds a lot like what my father-in-law taught me in my kitchen that night before we listed our house for sale. It's being a good steward of everything I can to honor God. Being a good steward of everything I have inside of my control. Being a good steward of every ability, every finance, every relationship, every job I have. Being a good steward of that and saying, God, I'm going to honor you with this. God, I'm going to follow your ways in my finances. God, I'm going to follow your ways in my relationships. God, I'm going to follow your ways in my job. I'm going to work my job unto the Lord. And my finances, God, I'm going to submit it all to you. If you want me to give, I'm going to give. If you want me to tithe, I'm going to tithe. If you want me to save, I'm going to save. God, I'm going to do it your way. God, in my relationships, I'm going to serve my wife. I'm going to lay down my life for her like Christ laid down his life for the church. Wives, maybe it looks like I'm going to serve my husband unto the Lord. Maybe it looks like my friendships, I'm going to love one another. I'm going to love my neighbor as myself. Maybe it looks like we've got to submit to the ways of the Lord and everything that He's given us. And yes, that falls inside the box of what we can, quote, control. You can decide whether or not you're going to submit to the ways of the Lord. But see, why lives out in the margin? Because why I believe in this formula is trusting God through consistent prayer. We've been talking about putting down deep roots that are going to give us spiritual fruit. We've been talking about building spiritual momentum. You want to see things change in your life, it's going to be through consistent prayer that's met with faith. Because here's the thing, if we put why inside of the box, if we put why inside of our control, we're never asking for big things. We're never praying for anything that requires God to move. We're never praying for anything that we can't, quote, do ourselves. We cannot be in control. Why must live in the margins? Why has to be filled with faith? Consistent prayer must be a part of the equation. And a true prayer life must be met with trusting God. Believing that He can move. If your prayer life doesn't require faith, you're not asking God to move. It's a transactional moment. God, give me this. But if you don't, I'm just going to go get it for myself. And that's not what it's supposed to look like. And Z is simply this: God responding in His way, in His time. And that most certainly has to be out in the margin. And I wonder if there's anyone listening today that's discouraged, that's been hurt. Maybe you're even a little upset with God because you felt like you did this. You felt like I did X, I did Y, and when God moved, when He responded His way in His time, it hurt. It wasn't what I was thought it was going to be. It didn't look the way I thought it was going to look. And I want to encourage you with simply this. Proverbs 3:5-6 says, "Trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways to submit to Him, and He will make your path straight." And maybe the straight path for you is not what you thought it was. It was not as easy as you thought it was. Maybe you're seeing your bank account drop on a straight path. Let me tell you something. Your bank account is not the definition of the goodness of God. Frugal Phil had to learn that. I think we've got to remember that our straight path is not us receiving the best blessings on this side of eternity. Our biggest blessings are waiting for us after we have lived a life that says, "I'm going to trust in the Lord." Our biggest blessings are waiting for us on the other side of eternity when we have lived a life that says, "I will not lean on my own understanding." Our biggest blessings in life are waiting for us after we have lived a life that says, "I will submit to the Lord in all of my ways." So, church, I want to encourage you today. There's a path that is straight for you. There is a path that is straight for you. And the only gap between you and that path is trusting in the Lord with all of your heart. The only thing between you and that path is leaning not on your own understanding. The only thing between you and that path is saying, "God, I'm going to do things your way. I'm going to submit to you in all of my ways." We have got to stop being a people that want to hedge our bets, saying, "God, I'll go do it mostly your way. God, I'll look to do it mostly in your time. God, I'll mostly trust you. But if it's not getting done the way I want, if it's not getting done in the time I want, I'm taking the reins back." Let's lay it down. Let's live a life that wants to bank on God. Church, there is a path straight for you. vertical church as a whole, there is a path straight for us, and we will find it when we become a church who's full of people who will trust in the Lord in all of our ways, when we won't lean on our own understanding, when we say, God, we're as a church going to submit to you in all of our ways. American church, there is a path straight for us, and it starts when we trust in the Lord in all of our ways and lean not on our own understanding in all of our ways, submit to him. Worldwide church, there's a path straight for us. And it starts when we trust in the Lord in all of our ways and we lean not on our own understanding. We submit in all of our ways. Holy Spirit, move. Help us to submit. Because that's not what our flesh wants, right? We talked then about that in Galatians. Can sow to your flesh or sow to your spirit, and they wage war against one another. Our human tendency will always buck at the idea of submitting to God in all of our ways. Our human tendency will always want to make us not trust in the Lord in all of our ways. Our human tendency will make sure that we want to lean on our own understanding. Don't trust it. Because your flesh will lead you down a path of destruction. So Holy Spirit, come. Let us be a people who submit in all of our ways. Let us be a people who trust in you in all of our ways, Lord. Let us be a people who leans not on our own understanding. God, I pray that we will be a people that looks to be a good steward. That God, anything that you give us, God, we will look to honor you. We will look to follow in your ways. God, I pray that we will be a people who are consistent in prayer. That we want to live a prayer life out in the margin. That we want to let faith fill the margin, God. And God, I pray that we will be a people who are patient and trust you to move in your way, in your time. So Holy Spirit, I pray that we will open our minds, hearts, and souls to you. Lead us and guide us. Holy Spirit, I believe you are speaking to lives right now, challenging people in areas maybe that we need to submit, in areas that maybe we need to trust, maybe areas that we need to stop leaning on our own understanding. Holy Spirit, please, let us be a people that responds. Let us be a people who doesn't want to try to control it. Lord, we submit to you. We love you. Come and lead us and guide us in all that we do. Amen.